The heavens smile upon you, dear listener. Either by choice or chance, you have arrived at Idiots Discuss the Universe's Music Review Bonus Podcast Zone. Cast aside your fickle life of indecision and let the IDTU tell you what they think. Welcome to Hit or Shit.
Yeah. Burn, growlers, chain smokers.
So you know what, Craig? I have a quick theory.
Oh, okay.
I think everyone, you know, loves the smell of their own farts. Or at least I do.
Okay.
I definitely do. I think it's exquisite. Every fart is like a snowflake, you know? They're all like a little bit different.
Okay.
And no two are the same. And the other thing, just so people out there know, like, you know, if you do fart around someone and you're like, oh, fuck, I don't want that to smell, you know, the yeah. quickest way to get rid of it is to just like try to inhale it all. You know what I mean? You gotta like inhale the noxious fumes, take one for the team, you know? And so that's why I think everyone should really, you know, just be okay with smelling their own farts. So anyway, that's my genius idea for the day. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, yeah, that doesn't seem like that would help at all.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because you just like to get into position to properly inhale the fumes coming out of your own ass, you would in effect like be spitting in such a way that you would further like push the fumes out in a more
you got to do it subtle,
a wider circle.
You got to do it subtle.
Not only
Craig.
That, you would alarm those around you you were going to convulsions or something, and they would draw closer, and then they would be like, "Oh, what's going on?"
No, it's not like you got to be subtle about it, Craig. I'm telling you got to just sort of lean forward, you know, over the crotchal region, because that's where you know it'll seep up from, and then you just got to sit there, kind of like a sumo wrestler, and just be like. And just be taking just inhales, gulps of it.
What also I take issue with is your assumption that by inhaling it and then blowing it back out, you're going to eliminate the smell.
Yeah, no more smell.
Like, I think you're just inhaling poop air.
No. You're cleaning it with
and
your
if
lungs.
If someone were to draw close and smell it, they would look, why is he breathing so deeply and sitting in his own stink? I mean, that's
because he's trying to do you a favor. Okay. That's why he's trying to vacuum all the stink up with his body.
You really have this high opinion of other people and how they're going to proceed forward. I really think most people would just wonder why you were sitting in a cloud of your own filth and breathing it in as deeply as possible. That's what I think.
Oh no, no, no. No, okay. I'm just...
you don't think that that's something that they could come to that
line? I don't think that's even a reasonable possibility.
They would think he's trying to do me a favor by breathing in his poop air.
That's what they would know. They would know.
They would, but actually, they would not know at all.
Right, that's the point.
Like,
they
oh,
wouldn't
the
know.
The air is so clear.
It's clean.
He's enjoying it because he's breathing so deeply this clean, sweet-smelling air. And only you would know because by some miracle of
well, you have to breathe
physics,
it out through your nose.
You would be sucking all of that air directly up in like funnels of your nose because obviously you don't want to like put your head in your own crotch.
Right, you can't do that.
So
it's like if you're at a doctor's office or something.
You would have to have the most powerful like nose. Like
you just got to tilt your head down and just go give it one a. And people think you're just doing breathing exercises. And you breathe out the purified clean air.
That's some powerful lungs.
Mm-hmm. The human body is a powerful thing.
And when you breathe out the air, you can't breathe it anywhere near your own stink.
That's also true. You gotta tilt up when you breathe out.
So they will think you're probably having a convulsion.
No. No, they'll think you're doing some sort of new age breathing exercise.
Huh.
Hmm.
It seems problematic.
Well, you know who I think probably does new age breathing exercises?
our next artist on our favorite segment.
That's right.
Hit
or
shit.
That's right, everybody. We alternated it this time. It's the segment you didn't see coming.
And we didn't know that we were going to alternate it, just like you didn't know that we were coming we're improvising. At you with a hit or
sit. We're improvising up here. This is like jazz, baby. You know, a little of this, a little of that.
A little of this. So, and that's kind of like our main dude tonight, too. He's always been a little bit of this, a little bit
unpredictable.
Of that. A little bit of borrower, a little bit of innovator.
Yeah. Totally. He's all over the place.
One of my favorites. I mean, really, seriously, like, I mean, he's in that first handful of people in, like, of all time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think.
He's also one of those few people who have reached his level of fame and notoriety and success, and also maintained a very, like, strange creative streak, like a dedication to being creative,
yeah.
You know, rather than, like, rehashing bullshit, you know, rehashing the stuff that worked for you before. He's really good at doing new things.
That's I think that's absolutely true. I mean, he's never had a hit single. I mean,
really?
Once in a lifetime was the
I thought that was like a hit
was a single. It got to number 37 on the charts. That's the highest that I think any of them have ever gotten, maybe.
I want to look that up. Really.
Oh, maybe Wild Wild Life got a little bit higher, number two, I think, overall. But he's an artist that never really had any hits. He's just had consistently great albums, starting with the Talking Heads, which are some of the greatest albums in rock history. I mean, each one of them is each album is remarkable in its own way. And then his solo career has gone for, you know, now 30 years, I guess. Something like that.
Yeah, at least 30 years. That's crazy.
Yes, I believe that the last Talking Heads album came out
1988.
Yeah, year before I graduated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Naked.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're incredibly awesome. I remember reading David Byrne's book that came out. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never read that.
It's really good. It's all about music, of course, but he's got a really, really cool perspective on everything and a really cool perspective on the business, like how to run it from a logistical perspective and all the kind of money that it takes to be a creatively successful musician rather than a necessarily monetarily successful musician. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. it always seems like that's really his dedication there, which I've always respected, even if I don't always vibe with all of his music and whatnot. Like some of it's really weird, you know.
I don't either. You know, there are some. He does so many collaborations with so many interesting people, like everyone from Fatboy Slim to what's the gal? She's amazing.
Oh, St. Vincent.
Yeah, that's a great album.
That was a really good album.
Yeah. But he just picks really varied people. But he did one that was a partnership. I think it was a Latin American artist. And I appreciate it for what it is, but I just can't do it. I mean, my favorite is when he partners with Brian Eno
Brian Eno produce the first?
Oh, don't burn those stickers.
It's okay, they're not burnt. Craig, it's all right. I'm at an ashing zone, you know. This is dangerous too. There's no good way to do this.
No, you're fine. You're not gonna break anything. That's fine. Even if you do, it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. Here, you want this poker?
Oh yeah.
Do you want some more weeds?
Yes, please.
There you go. You got to push that button on the lid to open it and to put it back on there.
What are we smoking on?
That is a white super skunk.
White super skunk. Ooh, smells cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Oh, smells like a finely aged white cheddar.
I think it's pretty nice. It's turned out that it's not something that I want to super smoke all the time, but like I do. You got to push that.
There we go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's kind of a tricky deal. I love that little.
Those are nice. Seal in the air.
The dudes that are so good to us at Mellow Mood, like.
Shout out to Mellow Mood.
Yeah, they threw that in with the last, with this pipe that I bought.
Oh, that's rad.
So, yeah. That's nice.
Yeah, Mellow Mood is sick. They are the go-to spot in Portland for like glass and papers and all things toking related.
Yeah.
And they've got some like crazy pieces there. At least in the one on Hawthorne.
And so many. Yeah. And they're nice. And they're nice and they're not like super like...
No, they're super chill. Like laid back.
Follow you around and like want to show you stuff constantly. They just let you look around. Yeah. And like, but if you do want help, they're good about that. And
yeah.
They hang our poster on the window, which is something that I also really like.
Right, but they did not pay us to say any of this. This is all coming from the bottom of our Northwestern hearts.
Mellow Mood. I go to the one on Hawthorne. Is that the one you go to?
There's that one. There's also one by PSU downtown. Okay. I think it's on Broadway or something.
That's where you go.
That's where I used to go a whole hell of a lot, since it opened up.
Yeah.
They're a good establishment. So do you think David Byrne... Like, have you heard about him recently? Like, you know what he's up to?
I saw him live few summers ago in Utah. And
oh, that's
it was
rad.
A fantastic show. I mean, like, dancers and the whole fucking deal. That's one thing about it is, like, it's a full, like, show. And lots of costume changes and lots of, like, choreography and all that sort of stuff. And it was a little cultish, even, you know, like he had like lots of young people all like kind of, I don't know, it's weird. It was it had a weird vibe to it at times, but it was also just a great like he killed it. He killed all the old songs, he killed the new songs. Like it was a fantastic show. Yeah, it was great.
So I gotta say, I'm just looking at the album cover for his latest album, American Utopia, which came out this year. And I'm getting a pretty solid political vibe. I mean, I guess the title wasn't exactly trying to hide it, calling it American Utopia, you know.
Right.
In a time period where I think if anybody can agree on one thing, it's that America is not a utopia.
Right.
You know?
That's interesting. I'll be interesting to see, like, what he takes on this, because he's never been...
That's always what I thought. Like,
political.
He always more or less stayed away from that.
He does talk about it in this weird, like, you know, that... references to that do come up in his lyrics at times, you know, there's like life during wartime, but it's always in this abstract, artistic sort of way.
Even the band name Talking Heads is kind of a reference to, you know, the Talking Heads on TV, like it's like anti-establishment kind of a vibe.
And there's songs like Don't Worry About the Government but they're weird, you know. They're never like, I mean, if this song is something that's about like Trump or like something very specific or like, you
know. I wish I could show you the album cover, because it's basically this large orange figure looming over a city where a crouched person is like got a hammer and he's like hammering towards the ground, working fervently. And then on either side, it appears like there's two sides behind this giant orange guy, and one side's like all, you know, more white, and the other side's more on the brown. And they appear to be figures. It's like this abstract painting. So,
but you're getting a strong like Trump.
I guess I don't know if I'm.
Sorta.
I could definitely be overthinking it. Like, people out there, if you're listening, you should tell me if I'm overthinking this shit, like what you think when you look at this album cover.
Well, I'll tell you what,
I don't know,
that's kind of what the album cover looks like. That's interesting. Let's keep an open mind and listen to the song and come back to it.
That's a great idea.
Well, I wish I was a camera, I wish I was a postcard, I welcome you to my house, you didn't. A house and a garden. There's plants and trees. Make a closer inspection. If you get down on your knees. Now everybody's coming to my house.
Damn.
Yeah, all right, that was Everybody's Coming to My House by David Byrne.
That was
a banger.
That was a funky fucking...
Yeah.
Jam.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was that was sweet.
It's really nice. It's reminiscent of one of my favorite albums that he's done solo is Everything That Happens Will Happen Today. It was like a collaboration he did with Brian Eno. Oh. And it got a lot of songs that kind of have the same sort of feel to it with the combination of that syncopated rhythm.
Yeah.
And then that modern sort of dance groove sort of thing to it.
Too. Oh, it was all about the syncopated thing with the greater groove behind it. That was awesome. And it like never fully let up, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it always was adding something, taking something away, but like still had that underlying groove.
He's so Latin influenced. I mean, there's this point in the career, like from True Stories, and then it goes into Naked. And Naked is just totally just Latin influenced album, and you can just see that it just his interest in music just totally switched, and it's never been the same, and it just shows itself everywhere. But I mean, I love it. You know, I mean, like, and that's very much like a Caribbean sensibility to like the song structure and even the way it's put out. It's a dance song, like it's a South American dance song,
definitely. Kind
of, in a way,
with the horns and everything.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was really cool.
He's very world.
But
now
it doesn't come across in like a
pretentious.
Yeah, like someone trying to like show you the wonders of Bali and the gamelan. Like, you know what I mean? Like
he's one of those American artists that doesn't seem like an American artist, but when you try to think about what country he should be from, you can't really place your finger on it.
Yeah. Like, he's like British probably, right?
But he's not. Yeah. Man, he's from Rhode Island, I think, or something, which is kind of the same.
And I think a lot of that is probably because he pronounces his lyrics very strangely. You know, that's always been his thing. He's like, send weird things like like you're like, whoa, what the fuck is he saying? And then certain words will like pop through, you know. And then he'll go in between like singing and talking, you know.
And I don't know if this is always the case, but for a lot of albums, he doesn't write lyrics for the songs. He'll just go and he'll just shout nonsense lyrics, and then he'll clean that up after he's just went out there and just like done lyrics, and then he kind of turns that into stuff that sort of makes sense. And then that's what it is.
I think that's a brilliant way of writing.
It works sometimes better than others.
Yeah,
you know,
very
there
true.
Are some albums where it's fun, and there's other albums
you're like,
where,
like you're not saying anything.
It's just goofy. It just gets itself to goofiness sometimes. Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
very
that's
true.
Kind of the, if there's any pitfall to the Talking Heads, is that it does sometimes teeter on that sort of novelty sounding sort of thing.
It definitely gets into the dorky realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's got Devo's kind of got the same sort of issue to it.
Yeah,
you know, both of those, they're sort of that cream,
but they
of those
embrace
bands
that. I think,
and I think Talking Heads do too.
Yeah,
you know, I think David Byrne has too. David Byrne still has it, you know. It's interesting.
Yeah,
but I definitely give this one a hit. I'm excited to hear the rest of the album. Like, I was excited to hear every album that he does. And this sounds like this is going to have a bunch of songs on it that I'm going to like. And I'm always really appreciative of that. So,
I've already saved the album to my library, American Utopia. It was just released a few days ago, December 11th.
Nice.
And the album by David Byrne. And I give it a fucking hit, too. Yeah.
Awesome.
That was really sweet, and makes me want to dive in deeper to this man's incredible catalog of music.
Lots. I mean, there's still
so much.
There's still so much for me.
I've just been sitting here scrolling down. I'm like, oh fuck, dude. This just his solo stuff goes back to 1981.
Yeah.
Then there's Talking Heads, and oh man, there's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, if you've not fully explored the Talking Heads, like just Remain in Light. Like, oh my God, you got to listen to Remain in Light. That is an amazing freaking album.
Yeah.
And then there are so many other ones that are
Fear Music is pretty interesting, right? Or Fear of Music, is that?
Remain in Light is. Yeah, I swear to God, that's the one. That's one. Fear of Music is a lead up to that. That's the big one.
Okay.
That's the critic.
I defer to you on all things Talking Heads. That's it.
And then Stop Making Sense is the greatest concert movie ever made.
Isn't that the one with a lot of theatrics and moving blocks and like the band moves around and stuff?
They build the set.
They build
the set as the concert goes on. It starts out with David Byrne coming out in the big suit, and he puts down a ghetto box and he pushes it, and it's just like this drum beat, and then he gets his guitar and he starts playing it, and from that point, like more people start coming in and building the set. And at the end of it, it's like...
Like, are they hammering or what?
You like, just have to... You just have
okay,
to watch it.
Okay,
to watch
I got to watch
it's that. Done very, it's done very well.
Well,
it's
this is awesome. Well. This is awesome. David Byrne, a name I hadn't really thought of in a while, but damn, he's... Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. Always, he's always creeping.
He's always around.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah.
But prolific.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This has been another educational episode of
Hit or Shit. I definitely didn't fuck that up. You didn't hear that at all. There's nothing like that happening here. And make sure you go to our Spotify playlist so that you can hear all of these songs that we do on Hit or Shit.
Because it's already up there.
Like, it's already up there. This,
it's already up there.
It's there. You want to decide for yourself whether or not you like it. Go listen to it. Check it out. And let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think about it.
Follow
us on all of the major platforms. I know it's a full thing, but you know, you got time. You know, if you got time. You're not doing anything important. Seriously. What did you do today? You stared at a wall.
Sober up, look at your priorities, and you got nothing better to do than to give us a link on some of the websites where we appear.
Yeah.
That's really something true.
You'll feel good about it.
That's something that's true.
It is true. Yeah. And we've got another hit here, so go listen to American Utopia by David Byrne.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.